Welcome to Dicey Stuff, the podcast about life, because, well, the dicey stuff is the realest stuff of our lives. Come along as Lois examines living as a Christian woman in this modern age. Time to roll.
Hey friends, you're listening to Dicey Stuff. My name is Lois Mattson. I'm happy you're here today. I've been thinking about something that happened in Exodus, and it just kind of fascinated me, and I thought I'd share it with you today. Before the Exodus, God spoke to Moses and told him to go to Pharaoh and speak to him. And I'm going to read you from Exodus chapter 6, a few verses where God speaks about the people of Israel. So this is Exodus 6, verses 2 through 8. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. So, God tells Moses in the middle of that, that he has heard the people's groanings, and he remembered his covenant, which he cannot break. And he says, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And he does this often in the scripture. We talked about it a little bit with Sarah, where he says, in the podcast that we did about Sarah, where he says, I am your God, you are my people, I am your God, you are my people. That's been kind of a theme that God has spoken with Abraham, with Moses. And at this point, we know the story in Exodus. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, no, I won't let the people go. But when Moses goes to Pharaoh, God tells Moses exactly what to say to Pharaoh. He is to go to Pharaoh and say, thus says the Lord, let my people go. Not Moses' people, God's people. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, there are the plagues. You know, eventually it gets bad enough that Pharaoh does let the people go. God's people. So they're out in the wilderness. They're complaining against God. There's lots of more miraculous things. God brings them through the Red Sea. You know, water comes from a rock when they need water, and quail come when they're hungry. There's many, many things that happen. When they're at Mount Sinai, Moses goes up on the mountain, and he's up there for days and days and days. And the people are getting impatient, and they're getting worried, wondering what happened to Moses. We don't know what happened to him. So they tell Aaron, make us a god. We don't know what happened to Moses. He's not coming back. So Aaron takes the people's gold and makes a golden calf. While Moses is up on the mountain with God, getting the commandments, getting the tablets of stone that God wrote with his own finger. But the people are straying. And they, you know, dance around this calf and say, these are your gods that brought you up out of Egypt. You know, they're partying it up down there. And there's a really interesting thing that happens in chapter 32. And I'm going to read you chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. And listen to what the Lord says and listen to what Moses says. So remember, Moses is up on the mountain. The people are down there having a party around a calf. And God is angry. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people." Do you hear that? In the beginning, the Lord says to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." But Moses reminds God of his promise, reminds God of his covenant, reminds God that they're not Moses' people, they're God's people. And he says, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Remember Abraham, Isaac, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self." And God turns away from that disaster. He doesn't destroy the people and make a new nation out of Moses, because that wasn't the promise. The promise was to Abraham that in his seed, which is Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Isaac and Jacob all received the promise. And now, when the people have turned away, God says, "Moses, these are your people, and you brought them up out of Egypt, and I'm going to wipe them out and make a nation out of you." But isn't it comforting that Moses reminds God of his own promise? And he says, "You can't do that, Lord. You can't turn your back on these people. They're your people, and you brought them out of Egypt, and you made them a promise. You told Abraham, Isaac, and Israel that this land would be theirs, that they would be a great nation, that the earth would be blessed through them." And God turns away from that disaster. So what does it have to do with us? We also can hold God to his promises, the promises that are given in his word. When we have doubts or fears, when we have concerns, when we look at ourselves and see that we've fallen from God, that we have bowed down to golden calves and sacrificed to them, we also can remember the promises of God and bring those promises to God And it can be strengthening for our faith, and it can be comforting, extremely comforting. Israel was in slavery in Egypt, and we are in slavery to sin. We are bound, our natures and our wills are bound to sin from birth. But God, in His infinite mercy, changes our will, brings us out of bondage. But yet, even when we are out of bondage, Egypt is in their rearview mirror. They have left Egypt. Israel has left Egypt behind. They're now following the Lord their God. They're following the tent and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. But yet, they fall down and worship that golden calf. And we do the same thing. Let's not forget that. We do the exact same thing. I think sometimes these Old Testament stories are in the Bible just so that we can look at them and say, God be praised that we're not the only ones. That Israel, God's chosen people, so quickly forgot the Lord their God, so quickly turned against Him, so quickly complained to Him, and groaned over the slavery of sin. They repented, the people repented over and over, but God Himself repented of the disaster that He was going to bring on them, that He was going to destroy them completely off of the face of the earth. God delivered them from slavery, and He delivers us from slavery. He redeemed us with an outstretched arm, with great acts of bringing His own Son to this land, to this earth, to live as a human. And it's so wonderful that we can hold God to His promises. We can remind Him of His promises, of His mercy. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, talk about our great high priest. And I'm going to read those for you. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our great high priest knows our temptations, and He tells us that He is interceding for us, that He is at the Father's right hand making intercession. So we can confidently come to the throne of grace. In the time of the Exodus, when the mercy seat was established, when God had that built, when Moses had the people build this place where they knew they could meet with God, the veil was still between the most holy place and where the people were. It was not accessible to everyone. Only the high priest went there, only once a year, only when he had blood with him. But that veil has been torn away. And we can, with confidence, the writer to the Hebrews says, draw near to the throne of grace. We can approach the mercy seat, that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we feel that we have fallen down before that golden calf, or when we have complained to God, we repent and we draw near with confidence. We confess and we receive the absolution. A little later in Hebrews, chapter 13, talks about sacrifices. And talks about the sameness of Jesus Christ. I want to read verses 1 through 8. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God doesn't change his covenant. He doesn't go back on his promises. He holds himself. He binds himself to his promises and to his word. He says, I cannot lie. And we can remind God of those promises when we are in doubt or when we are in fear. I think it's amazing and marvelous that in our time of struggle, we can look into God's word, we can find his promises, we can cling to them, and we can hold God to them. Trust in him. Trust his promises that he's given in his word. He says he has sent his son for you. He loved the world so much and in such a way that he sent his son for you, for me, for the entire world. We are God's people. We are not Moses' people. We are not our own people. We are God's people. And he has translated us, moved us, picked us up, and placed us in his kingdom. And he is faithful. He is faithful to his promises. Psalm 56 says, verses 3 through 4, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? We put our trust in him, and we praise his word, and therefore we do not need to be afraid. Remember his promises. Remember his gracious word. Cling to it. Trust it. And know that he will never leave you or forsake you. Thanks be to God. God be praised for his incredible mercy in bringing us out of the slavery of sin into his kingdom of grace, into his kingdom of freedom, that he has taken our sin on himself and given us his righteousness so that we can stand. We can stand in the court of heaven, covered by the blood of Jesus, perfect, holy, blameless, righteous, even though we don't feel like it, even though we don't see it with our own eyes, even though we fall before the golden calf, and then we repent, and then we fall before the golden calf, and we repent again. And we complain that there's not enough water in this barren wilderness. And then he washes us with water in our baptism. We complain that there's not enough food, and he gives us his very body and his very blood. Praise God for his goodness. Have a good day, friends. Thanks for listening. Oh, hey, DSPS. I keep going back to Psalm 100. It has something that reminds us that we are God's people. I'm going to read that for you. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Do you hear those promises? It is God who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations, even our generation. We can give thanks to him, we can praise his name, we can make a joyful noise to him, because he is good. He is God, and he never changes. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Dicey Stuff, the podcast where Lois talks about this big dicey adventure called life. You're welcome to send your comments and feedback to diceystuffpodcast@gmail.com. Please, if you would, subscribe and share. Until next time, roll on, friends.